Okay,
perfect. Great. And we'll just get started. So welcome to Candid. This is, I think, episode 5, maybe 6. I'm not sure. So would you like to introduce yourself and what you're studying?
So my name is Juliana Naka, and I'm studying a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Life Sciences. And I'm a writer on the Catalyst paper.
Okay, cool. What area of science, like what area of life sciences are you studying?
I'm doing a bit of everything, so biology, anatomy, physiology. I'm mostly interested in physiology. I'm applying to med school soon, so I'm just doing a little bit of everything to get to know the field.
Okay, cool. Well, I hope you get in. So, would you like to explain to us what article you wrote and what that article was about?
So for the Catalyst, I wrote an article on the COVID-19 vaccine rollout plan, just because at the time, which was a few weeks ago, I felt like I was in the dark about what was going on. So I tried to do as much research as I could. And I knew a lot of students were probably in the dark as well, especially students that, because all of us are going to be put last on the list to be vaccinated, right? And so I wanted to get to know a little bit about the system and how it's being coordinated. And that's the article I wrote, basically.
Well, we'll start with, what did you find out about our vaccine infrastructure and production?
So in terms of the production, we don't produce any vaccines, and that could either be for the purpose of not having the ability to do that here in Canada, or the companies that created the vaccine not wanting us to produce it here. They were mainly in charge of producing it. So these companies are Pfizer and Moderna. And what I started to find out in the beginning of my research was the overall plan of Canada in the different provinces and how they were deciding on who to give the vaccine to and who it was safe to give it to. And I discovered a lot of information on the issues actually that Canada was having with giving out their vaccines and where to locate them, because as we know, Canada has a lot of northern provinces that aren't really easily accessible. So in the beginning, when Pfizer had the first vaccine that came out in December, early December, this vaccine was only able to survive in really cold temperatures. And so they need to be refrigerated, you know, at really, really cold temperatures. Really, really cold, by not in a normal truck, not in a normal room temperature area. So they needed to be refrigerated, and that is pretty expensive. And so provinces like Alberta, Northern Alberta, they weren't able to receive the vaccines right away. Provinces like Nunavut or the Northwest Territories, they weren't able to receive the vaccines right away. And so that really delayed a lot of the vaccine rollout in Canada. And that's why such a small percentage of us are vaccinated as of now. But later on, Moderna came out with a vaccine that was able to be transported without this type of temperature, and Pfizer as well. And so now it's kind of speeding up the process a bit. On top of that, I did figure out as well through my research that Pfizer wanted to give the first dose followed by 3 weeks and then the second dose of the vaccine. Both doses are exactly the same, so there's no difference in what's inside each one, but the difference, the reason why they want to give it to you 3 weeks later is so that you have your first 90% protected, so you're inoculated 90%, which means you're almost completely safe, and then that second dose really gives you that second booster shot, just like many other vaccines that we've received in our life. Canada, though, decided to wait a whole 3 months before giving the second dose to the healthcare workers and the older residents in homes. They decided to wait 3 months to do that. A lot of people found that a bit of a rash decision, and so did I when reading on all this information. But when going into depth about it, I figured out that later on they discovered that it was actually safe to wait that amount of time, and actually pretty smart of Canada, because now we get to inoculate more people at once rather than waiting to get more and more doses, right? So I think their decision was initially rash, but it turned out to be rather smart just because of the science that backs it up later on through Pfizer and things like that. Yeah.
So is it just an accessibility problem? Because even though Canada, the government made the move to vaccinate less people, or to vaccinate more people at a 3 month interval, but like the case is just we haven't had that many vaccinations. So is it just an accessibility problem, or is there other components to it.
You're talking about the 3-month interval that they decided to implement?
Yeah, what I guess what I'm talking about is, even though Canada made this, like, made initially a risky maneuver to do a 3-month interval when the science wasn't backing it up at the time, but now it is. But even though we took that interval, and even though we took that risk, we haven't seen a rise in vaccinations recently, and or not recently, but over the past like 3 months. So I get, what I'm asking, I guess, is accessibility the only problem for the Canada vaccine rollout plan, or are there other issues like that you came across?
Mm-hmm. So I think that accessibility and education are the two main issues of the vaccine rollout in Canada. So initially, Canada had a really big rough start, as I was explaining. So things just didn't work out with accessibility in terms of northern regions and people that were older not being able to bring themselves to get the vaccine. So even though there were people in homes, there were also people that, a lot of older people that lived with their families that weren't advised to get the vaccine right away. And so that was just in terms of accessibility, that's the initial problem that happened. And that's why the percentage didn't go up as much as it did in countries like the United States. But now it's going up a little bit faster just because accessibility is becoming, it's improving, right? So now Canada's making it, making people aware of how to get it, where to get it, how old you have to be to get it. More healthcare workers are being vaccinated. And now as of 4 days ago, I think, people 65 and older are able to get it. It was 70 the week before, 75 the week before that. And so it's going down about 5 years of age every week, which is really good. But it wasn't like this before. And I think that was a lot to do with accessibility. Now, in terms of like the education surrounding the vaccine, I think that's also a big problem because we are targeting the older people to get vaccinated first because they're the ones we want to protect. Statistically, the virus affects older people way more than it does younger people. Of course, there are certain cases where younger people are immensely affected as well and put in hospitals and things like that. But older people are the ones that are really suffering from the virus, and that's why we are trying to get them to do the vaccine first. But the education surrounding what the vaccine is made of and how it'll affect people's bodies is really worrying to these people, to older people that aren't really understanding it, because there is really no outreach or any program that's trying to educate people on what the vaccine is. It's just an announcement. This is, if you're this age, you can go get it, but get what? How do we get it? And why do we get it? People just know that this vaccine will protect them, but how will it protect them? So I think that's a downside to the plan Canada has right now. I think the education surrounding the vaccine is a huge default. And I think if we were to improve the education around the vaccine, a lot more people would be signing up to get vaccines right now. Even if you were to go yourself to check the website on the appointment schedule, you would see that about 2 weeks ago, it was open for ages 70 and up, and there were tons of appointments available every day. And that means that all those vaccines were in the facilities ready to be used. But probably a bunch of those vaccines got bad because a lot of people didn't sign up for those time slots, just because either for personal reasons or for education reasons. And I really do think it's due to the educational reasons.
Okay, then like two questions then about that. So how do you think we could improve education for older people? I don't have any of the demographics or any of the statistics with, like, I'm not, but from what I've just seen, a lot of the anti-vax movement is made up of older people. How would
it is, yeah.
Like, would we have to make like Facebook ads, or like, how would that work?
I think a lot of older people watch the news. And I think if news segments were to be focused solely on the science behind the vaccine, in obviously simple terms, I think a lot of people would start trying to get to know it themselves, right? I don't think people are trying to make an effort to do that right now because they think the mentality of people that aren't getting the vaccine, the anti-vaxxers or the anti-COVID vaxxers, I think their mentality right now is that if I don't get it, it's okay because a bunch of the rest of Montreal or Canada will get it, and so I'll be safe, right? And that's what they're thinking. But if everybody's thinking like that, trying to protect themselves, it shows that they're scared, you know, and they don't even know what they're scared of because they haven't been taught what it's about. And yes, you're right, because a lot of anti-vaxxers are made up of older people, but surprisingly, there are some younger people that don't even know what the vaccine is made up of, and it's making them anti-vaxxers towards the COVID vaccine specifically, not towards all vaccines right now, but just towards the COVID vaccine, because they're scared too. And they don't want to put something in their body that has claimed to cause infertility and all of these problems that aren't true. And they're just false and made up rumors by people who think vaccines are going to hurt the body, right? And they're really not aware of what's inside the vaccine. And it should really be brought upon in the news where the government announces restrictions and things like that. People always pay attention to that. So why can't we just make an announcement in terms of vaccine and what it does? People are constantly listening to the rules and curfews and all that stuff. Why can't we just create a platform where they can also learn about what's going inside their bodies?
I think it's tough to do that because, like, when COVID first came out, when COVID first was like the CD, or I don't know. Anyway, when COVID first, like,
album.
When COVID-19 dropped, but when the virus first emerged, you just had all these. I think the problem is the internet is so big, and the internet is so vast with information. Anybody can confirm anything. You had people saying that COVID causes dementia, and COVID like causes this and that. And when you looked into those claims, though, there were just like slight correlations between specific conditions and COVID. But the same is said for the vaccine, because I think that a lot of older people and a lot of people and younger people that have access to the internet are able to find anything they want on the vaccine from a variety of scientists that may not conduct, like, from a variety of scientists that have conducted proper studies, but also from a variety of outlets who have misconstrued those particular studies. So my question for you is, what do you think of the government bringing in, I guess, more scholarly peer-reviewed sources when talking about vaccine education, and to actually translate the science correctly instead of misconstruing it?
I definitely think that's a great idea. I think that TV segments and the news segments on the vaccine with peer-reviewed sources, such as scientists that have worked themselves on the vaccine, or if we don't have those type of resources, then just scientists who understand it, that would be super educational, not just for older people who have always been anti-vaxxers, but for people who are young and just scared of what's going in their bodies, right? Because, you know, I'm a young woman, and if I really believed that infertility was a consequence of the vaccine, I wouldn't have gotten it myself. And I was just vaccinated this Friday. So it's like an exciting thing that people should be super excited about. When I talk about the vaccine with people who know what's going on, we're all really excited. And that's how it should feel. It should feel like this is, you know, the end of the COVID-19 album drop. You know what I'm saying? So it's like something that should be ending, not something that should just cause more fear and more tension in our country. And I just think it's really about the education. Before, it was about the accessibility. Now it's no longer that, because Canada has properly distributed their vaccines, have opened up sites where people can sign up, have given the proper age groups that are being vaccinated, and have created rules and things like that. So accessibility is no longer the problem. It's really just about education right now. I mean, as an example, my grandparents have never trusted the government. They've always been very political and thinking that the government is against them, and that they have gotten the vaccine because of me. So I was able to convince them through science, not through manipulation or fear tactics, just through science. And I was able to explain to them that it's good for them and this is exciting. And they got excited too, and they got it, even though their whole lives they didn't want to get any vaccines like that. So, you know, it could happen. If I'm able to do that with my own grandparents, it could happen for other people and for younger people who are just scared and that do not want to get it, and that they think that everybody around them will get it, so they'll be safe. But that's not how it works, and that's not how we will get things open, like universities in Montreal. That's not how things like that will open up again, through fear.
How did you get your grandparents to listen to the science? Because I've been having a lot, like, very frustrating time trying to get my mom to listen to the science. So how'd you get, like, do you have any tips for getting people to actually open up to the scientific literature?
Personally, I think what I started with was this COVID-19 vaccine is not like other vaccines. we're not being injected with the virus at all. We're being injected with proteins from the virus that are just giving instructions to our memory cells. Our memory cells are going to fight in our body, and they just need instructions. How else are they going to do that? We can't just take a magical pill that will show our body how to fight. The vaccine is magic, and it will give our body the instructions it needs to fight. It's not, it's unlike any other virus like polio, where you are injected with a certain type of virus that will help you fight. This is another type of coding system, and it's an mRNA mRNA technology that has been developed for the last 30 years. And so this technology has been around for a long time. And when people are saying that the vaccine was rushed and people don't know what they're doing, just because COVID started in March, and then in December, that's when everything started, the vaccine rollout and everything like that. So people are thinking that's too much of a short period of time. Where were the testing trials? We knew about this technology for a long time. Every country in the world, most countries in the world, were able to invest money into this research just to protect their populations. And that's how this whole vaccine came to be, with all the scientists from around the world helping each other with the resources they had and with the mRNA technology that was already around. And so this vaccine is not like any other vaccine where we're just injected with the virus. And that's why I also think, if you were to want to convince somebody, you could tell them, they could tell you actually, a big argument from my grandparents and from other people is that, how will this protect you from the different strains? Because there's rumors of different strains in the UK and different countries that are coming here. And the thing is, with this vaccine, is that they just give you the proteins to fight. They don't give you the exact virus. So those proteins are in every single strain. It's not just in one strain. So you'll have those proteins no matter what strain you get, or what strain you're in contact with, if you were ever in contact with that strain. And so that's what's smart about this vaccine. They thought about it and they knew what was going to happen. They didn't just, you know, decide to create a random sequence of proteins, inject you with it, and just hope for the best. They really thought this through, using technology that has been around for 30 years, a bunch of money from the whole world, and the best minds, you know, to work together.
It was tough. I didn't even know that the RNA had been around for the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. I thought it was mm-hmm. not a recent development in the past like year, but like more like 10 years, 5 years. I didn't know that it had been in development for so long. How do you think the government should make that easier for people to get, like throughout an outreach program or through other educational means? Like, should the government convey all this information? Have they been doing a terrible job at it? What?
I do think they have. I think they've been focusing really on the rollout. So when to get these doses here, and how to set up this website so people know when to sign up, and what news to release when this is happening. So they've been really focused on the logistics rather than the education. And I think that's a big downside. I get it. There's a lot to worry about right now, and they're doing the best they can because there's a lot of logistics, right? There's all these provinces with all these people in different cities, and people in the suburbs that aren't really educated on where to go and what to do, and the age groups, separating the different age groups, how many people will sign up in a certain age group, so, and how many doses they're receiving. So there's tons of logistics that they're dealing with, and I get that education is the second thought for them, but it shouldn't be. I think they should bring it up in front of them, because right now we're not facing the problem of having only a certain percentage of the population vaccinated. Right now we're just going through slowly getting everybody, as much people as we can, vaccinated. But by the end, I mean, this is not fact because we're not there yet, but I predict that soon enough we'll have a good portion of the population vaccinated, but not enough for herd immunity, just because a lot of people don't want to be vaccinated and they don't trust it. Either that could happen, or people can see that nobody else is getting affected and they could just be like, okay, I'll just go get vaccinated. So it could either be that people decide I'm never getting vaccinated, or they see there's no consequences around them with the people that have got vaccinated in their family, and so they decide to get it, you know. And it could either lead to a big problems with the government trying to force people, which will not go well because people do not like to be forced to do things. Or people can start coming to their senses and realizing there's no real consequences other than a few days of arm pain, right?
What's the percent of like the population that needs to be vaccinated for it to be herd immunity? If you know off the top of your head.
No, I actually did some research on this because I was curious. And there is no percentage right now, just because we're not sure exactly of how many people it will take to get down to. So how it works, how they calculate percentage in order to reach herd immunity is through a coefficient that describes how many people would be infected if one person had it, right? So right now, if I had it, the realistic idea is that I should give it to less than one person. That would mean we've reached herd immunity. I can't give it to more or to less, like to more people than one person. That's where herd immunity is. But right now, if I had it, I would give it to my family members. And that's way more than one person, right? But if all my family members were vaccinated, they wouldn't get it. So then we have reached herd immunity in my house. But that's just my house. To return herd immunity in Canada, that percentage needs to be determined once we actually get there. Once we actually get that number of people vaccinated and we see that the number has gone down to way less than it is now. And so that one person would only be able to infect one person or less. But I know that's impossible because there's no less than one person, but that's the theoretical idea of it. That's how they calculate that percentage.
Cool. I didn't know that that was how they calculate the percentage of the achieved herd immunity. I thought it was just, I saw like some graphs of it and the moving dots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, education should probably be on the forefront of, sorry, I think there's people working out upstairs, if you could hear that.
It's okay.
But, so all in all, education should be on the forefront of the government's vaccine plans for next time, because experts have projected that this probably will happen again in our lifetime and increase with severity. So the rollout plan for next time, what should that look like?
You mean for the second dose?
No. I mean, like, just in the case of another pandemic, should governments be focused solely on rollout, or should there be divisions of government focused on education, educating people on science and building government trust most of all? So should that be the plan, or how would that work? What are some outreach programs that could work?
So I think really depending on how this rolls out, I mean, like I said before, it could either be people realize that the vaccine is good for them and they decide to do it, or really there's tons of people that haven't been vaccinated. We cannot reach herd immunity. And we really hope to not reach that point, just because, you know, summer's coming soon. Everybody wants to be outside. Businesses need to reopen in order to survive. And a lot of people just want life to start again, as we all keep saying. But that can't happen unless we reach herd immunity, or else the pandemic will just start again. And it's unfair to lock people in their houses if they haven't gotten vaccinated, and people won't take that either. So it's either people come to their senses and get vaccinated, you know, people above the age of 16, because kids under the age of 16 cannot be vaccinated, and so that's totally understandable. But everybody above the age of 16, if they come to the conclusion of being vaccinated, then that will solve all of our problems. But if they don't, then we see right there that education was a big problem and that people need to be educated. And I do think, just to save that problem, you know, just to stop that problem from ever happening, if there were to be another pandemic, I really hope there won't be, but if there were in our lifetime, there needs to be more education, because I could already see it being a problem. Because if I look at my family alone, there's a huge percentage that don't want to be vaccinated just because they're scared. So, I mean, that could just be my family. Hopefully it is. But if it isn't, then there's a large percentage of the population of Montreal, even teenagers that are around my age in their 20s that are scared and that don't know what to do and that think that this vaccine will hurt them when it won't. And so education really needs to be a big priority on top of accessibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because there's, again, I think it's so hard to even do that, because there's still, like, last year or the year before, 2018, 2019, there was a measles outbreak in Montreal. There was a big measles outbreak in the Jewish part of Montreal, Mile End area. And so I think that's just a kind of a testament to how hard education actually is amongst population. And yeah, and there's a lot of, like,
historically, a lot of factors. Yeah. it also depends on the population you're talking about, because it is known that a lot of Jewish people in Montreal are anti-vaxxers. It is a large portion of them.
Why do you know? No idea. Is it like a tradition thing, religion thing?
I don't think it's a religion thing at all. I really just think it's the culture behind it. They just, it really depends, like, which is ironic because in Israel, which is a country populated with tons of Jewish people, they're one of the most advanced countries technologically and scientifically. So they're all vaccinated right now. Everybody there is being vaccinated as we speak, almost 100% of the population. So it's really odd how in Montreal, it's really the opposite. And so it should be, like, you're right, it really depends on the population, who we're dealing with. And I think education should invest itself into that. So because the vaccine is the solution to this problem, to the pandemic, but we can't force everybody to get the vaccine. We have to teach them that it's good for them. And so, yeah.
Should scientists take a bigger part in convincing people? Or there's such a big distrust in science and government right now. I don't even think it's from a majority of the population. I personally think it's from a small minority of the population that just gets really vocal on the internet. Can you even combat that, like all that internet noise, with scientific opinion, or is it best just to leave it alone and let these heathens stay inside their basements for a good, like, another year or two?
Well, I think that scientists have done their job. They have created a great solution to our problem. They have created this amazing vaccine, and it would be great for them to speak out, you know, but that's not their responsibility. You know, they should keep themselves safe as well. And I think the response to these heathens, to these people that are just not wanting to be vaccinated, I think the response to them is government intervention, you know, but, you know, subtle government intervention, nothing aggressive, instead of forcing people eventually to take it, because that's what could happen eventually. We want to restart our society. We want to go outside again. The government can't just let people, let's say it's 50% of the population that only gets vaccinated, the other 50% don't. The government can't go and force 50% of the population to go get vaccinated. So I think education is a great start to that. And I think it's the government's responsibility to reach out to these people and to these communities and to make them more aware.
Okay. Yeah. And what about outreach programs? Has the government done any outreach programs this pandemic, or like very minimal or none at all?
In terms of the vaccine?
Yeah, in terms of the vaccine kind of rollout and trying to speak, like trying to subtly get more people to vaccinate. And so there's no instances at all of the Canadian government doing any of these outreach programs?
Not that I found, no. I mean, the Canadian government is centered on 5 points, and one of those is transparency. And I think that transparency includes education. And I don't think they're doing it on purpose to not be transparent about the vaccine, but I just think it should be done. And it's a big priority, right? Because they haven't done any outreach programs. And for older people, especially, you know, I was surprised when I went to get vaccine myself that there were that many people that were older and that were just going to get it on their own without any guidance or advice. And I think that that's not the whole population. I think that's just a small portion that are doing that on their own. But I think there's a large portion that need to know more. And I want to know more, which is totally valid. Totally understand. You need to know and you want to know what's going on in your body, but they don't have the motivation to look it up. They don't have that need. They just think that you see, the thing is that if you're not given that information, they kind of perceive in their head that the government is trying to just make them take something that will hurt them, because they're not being told what it is. They're not being told how it works. So that perception can be, it depends the person, but it can be skewed. They can skew the real goals of the government without knowing what's really behind their intentions.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's hard to do. I'm sorry, there's so much noise in the background. Just give me one sec.
I don't hear anything.
Oh, but I do, and I know the mic is definitely going to pick it up, so just give me one.
Who are you?
Sorry, you can kind of like notice my messy ass room and shit.
Anyway, it's okay.
But it's all right, this will be cut. If there's nothing else we really came into, because I think we've gone over the major points about education and outreach, and I don't think I'm qualified to talk about any more about how these people are dumb and they won't get the vaccine. So I think that could be.
It could be that they're dumb, or it could just be like they're scared, and that I get, right? And so I think that there could be a big solution to that. But
from what I've seen, I don't think it's dumbness. I agree with you on that. But from what I've seen, I do think it's willful ignorance, just from communities of older people that feel like they, and even younger people, like any person that thinks they know more about a vaccine than a scientist is absolutely kind of ridiculous, because like they'll just like argue, think for yourselves. But it's like, all right, man, like you have not gone in to do the science. I don't see you having a degree in this. I don't have a degree in this. Why, like, why are you engaging with me on this vaccine? How, like, why, like, this vaccine? Don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I mean, I think
if they really thought that this was something to be done against them, if they really think, like, think for yourself, okay, how, like, why would so much research be backing this up? Then do they have the research to back up that this is not something they should be doing? If you want to think for yourself, then go look at the research, go teach yourself biology, go teach yourself the technology, and try to figure it out.
They won't, though. They won't. They'll claim that they do, and then they keep peddling their nonsense. So it's kind of ridiculous. And it's very similar to, if I use this example with my mom, because I get into arguments with the older people in my family all the time about vaccine distribution. And I always like cite, I'm like, okay, well, if you came up to me and you told me you knew more about my degree than what I know about my degree, then that would be kind of stupid, right? And then they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, so you're going to come up to me and tell me you know more about science than a scientist? All right, like, doesn't that, like, it's the same logical fallacy. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's an ignorance, and this is a conversation for another time. I think there's broader problems with the education system in Canada, and how people are educated, and who's educated about what, and like questioning information.
Let's just wait and see, and let's hope that the education doesn't ruin what we have going for us right now. You know, we have a good percentage that are being vaccinated, and we're gonna reach herd immunity at this rate. And so I hope people just come to their senses, and we just have to wait. Honestly, we have to wait a few months and see how this is going.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that it'll be fine, and that a majority of us will get vaccinated. So, and hopefully the government figures out a plan to actually educate people in the future and now, and get them actually doing what a government should be doing. I know we didn't get to talk about like everything, so there's other issues like Indigenous vaccine distribution and rollout, but that's not what your article was about. So I'll plug your article. We'll plug your article in the description, so everyone can go take a look. Is there anything else you would like to kind of like tag before we call it a day?
No, I think we talked about everything. It was really nice talking with you.
All right, well,
it's really interesting.
Yeah, it was great listening and hearing your insight on vaccine education and development and everything was. So it was, yeah. So I think we'll just cut it here.
Yep.
And that'll be it then.
Yeah.